Welcome to the Ask Drone You podcast, where it's all about answering your drone questions today so you can fly better, safer, and even get paid tomorrow. And now, your hosts. One is a man of few hairs, and the other likes to be called Batman. Rob Burdick and Paul Lincoln.
Hello, everybody. This is Rob.
And I'm Paul, and you're listening to another epic episode of Ask Drone You.
Epic indeed, Paul. Thank you, everybody, and welcome to episode number 152. Very exciting today.
It's a beautiful day. Great day to fly.
It's always a great day to fly, even if it's, well, I guess not if it's windy and rainy.
Well, you know, actually something I learned. I went to skyvector.com yesterday because you can get aeronautical charts and maps. We did a webinar on it. And actually, there was more up-to-date information on weather than there was anywhere else online. Huh. In fact, there was a hail warning that populated on my map. Sure enough, 10 minutes later, it's raining and hailing 15 miles from our office.
That's pretty cool. So where was that again?
Skyvector.com.
Skyvector.com. Who would have thunk?
Yeah.
Weather is nowhere in that.
No, not at all. I normally go to
Sky is, though.
I normally go to AccuWeather to check it out, but today's podcast really talks about, well, let's get into the question.
Hey guys, Mark again. I know that checking weather is really important, but what about checking for different types of interference? Stuff that would, you know, hashtag up your GPS and cause low HTOP, limited 3D lock, GPS errors, etc. Anywhere from TFRs to magnetic disturbances and solar flares, etc. that would cause a lot of problems. What websites post this information? I just want better photos and not hashtag up photos with an out-of-control drone.
That's a good question.
That is a good question, but my favorite part of the question is the whole hashtag up.
Hashtag up? What does that mean?
I think, well, he's hashtagging instead of cussing, so I appreciate that.
You know what? That's right? One way to do it. There's beep and then there's hashtag.
And then, if you're Paul, there's just cussing. Why need a hashtag?
What are you trying
or an abbreviation
to say?
Or...
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Actually,
here,
Paul does a really great job of restraining himself on the podcast, which I think we appreciate.
Well, you know,
I appreciate. My kids appreciate because they listen.
Well, knowing that your kids listen now, I'll go
your
easy.
Your mojo is gone.
My mojo just died.
Anyways, he does ask a really good question, and I wonder how many people are thinking about these things before they fly.
Okay, so a couple things here. Number one, I used to do this all on my phone just by asking Siri, but Wolfram Alpha has kind of created less information for us. If you're an iPhone user, Wolfram Alpha is your friend. If you're an Android user, I'm not too familiar with them, so
you're on your own.
Sorry.
Hashtag sorry.
Hashtag as I'm sitting here with Rob, who has an Android phone, so don't think that we're actually split here. My iPhone 5S is right next to his Samsung S5.
Note 3.
Okay.
It's an older one, and it still rocks 2 years later. Love it. Love Android.
That's good. Anyway, for any of you users out there, I'm going to give you information to help find any potential issues. Skyvector.com. Let me just make sure that is correct, skyvector.com. If you go to skyvector.com, that'll give you all of the airspace indication information right on your phone. It's up to date. It will also give you updated weather information, weather warnings.
How current is that?
It's like up to the minute.
Really?
It's insane.
And not just weather, but on the other things it's up to date too?
Yeah, it's up to date on... So the little red circles that you can see, those are no-fly zones. And those have just been added onto the map. Those are TFRs.
That's really cool. You guys got to check this out. I wish you could see this. But you can if you go there.
There's another app that's out there. And I want to just throw this out there because it's in beta version. And I hope that Gregory McNeil listens to our podcast. But airmap.io, it's really cool. But there can be misguided information. And I say that because I downloaded the beta version. And I see some no-fly zones that are legally questionable. Like, there are still zones that you could technically fly that are on there. For example, Lake Powell. Lake Powell is not a complete no-fly zone. There are parts and areas to Lake Powell that are no-fly zones.
And yet they're just covering the whole thing.
Correct, yes. Just like just like the map box or my map zone, whatever, the no-fly zone map online.
So you got to dig a little bit.
You do. And
but how do you know where to dig and when to dig?
That's why I'm giving people the information. SkyVector.com is going to give you a map. Now, to get the most up-to-date TFRs in your area, just go to tfr.faa.gov.
Okay.
And then search for the nearest large tower in your area. So here in Albuquerque, that is Albuquerque. If you're anywhere in Colorado, that's going to be Denver, Wyoming. I think it's either Jackson Hole. I forget where the tower location is. But anyway, you pick the city that's nearest to you, and it gives you all the TFRs in your area, and it also gives you it on the map.
Okay.
Now, for other interferences, there is an app. Vic actually showed me this app, and I really like it. The only reason I actually use it is to learn the KP index. The KP index is the solar index. That's the amount of magnetic interference that's kind of in the air because of solar storms.
Okay.
That app is called Hover, and today the KP index is 1, so we are good to fly. We are actually ready to fly. Hover actually has the Don't Fly Drones map on it as well. But again, like for example, see that map? It says Don't Fly Drones here. But do you notice that the circle goes all the way up to I-40?
Yeah.
I used to live right by UNM, and UNM is a few miles south of I-40, and you can totally fly there, no problem. So again, you can't always believe all the information that you see. You really need to know your airspace. Remember, you can fly in Class G airspace. That's 0 to 700 feet. The FAA is trying to limit you to 400 feet for hobbyists, and they propose 500 feet for commercial guys. Frankly, if you've been flying drones for a while, flying high is not going to get you paid. It's flying low, it's flying close, and it's flying very smooth and cinematically.
Right.
It's not about super wide up high shots. Anyone can do that.
And there's just not, like you're saying, there's not a lot of reason to be up that high.
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying, you know, just be very careful about where you're flying, how high you're flying. Be professional. Think to yourself, how is this going to affect the industry if I screw up or I have a problem at this altitude?
Right.
You know, how is it going to look on me or my business if I screw up and I'm doing this, this, or this? You really need to think about those things. Remember, your decisions are not only going to create consequences for you, they're going to create consequences for other people as well.
Yeah, and a quick soapbox, Paul. I think our society so much nowadays is thinking about the immediate and near term, and we don't have that long-term perspective and the long-term consequences. We need to be thinking about that, especially in the arena that we're talking about with drones.
Absolutely. Now, another thing that I want to talk about here, another great app that I use, this is for wind information, because I have found wind information to actually be extremely difficult to achieve reliable results. So I downloaded the app SailFlow. And then I put SailFlow as my main primary objective is piloting or flying. So I get every single weather tower that is connected to the internet or a news station in the whole world. And so here, we are right by Balloon Fiesta Park. This is our office, by the way. We're across the street from the FAA, which is hilarious.
Awesome.
Hilarious, in my opinion. But see, here we've got, at Royal Del Oso Park, we've got a 3-mile-an-hour wind, but at the Balloon Park, we only have a 0. So now for Albuquerque, it's really important because we have very interesting weather conditions. For example, here at the office, there could be no wind, but up at my house in the foothills, it could be a 20-mile-an-hour gust.
Yeah, because we've got the mountains up there, and the winds come through the mountains. They come through the canyon.
Yep.
Where I-40 comes through.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So we also have the box here. If you haven't heard about the box, it's the reason that the International Balloon Fiesta is here. So if you are flying low, you'll catch a northerly wind, and then if you elevate higher, you'll catch a southerly wind. So that's what they call the box here in Albuquerque.
Perfect for ballooning.
It is really perfect
for
ballooning.
Come check it out sometime.
Yes. In fact,
cool.
I've been asked to provide hotel rooms for people. You're like, I want to come to the Balloon Fiesta, Paul. Where should I stay? It's like, yeah, you better plan them a year in advance.
At this point, you're booking 2016.
Yes. So
unless you want to stay in Alamogordo.
you don't want to stay in Alamogordo. Unless you're going to be attending our upcoming drone race.
Hey, that's something to talk about later.
That is something to talk about later. That'll be at the spaceport. Oh, let's see if you guys catch that news anytime soon. So anyway, leaked a little information there. But there's a lot of information that you got to be checking. I've gone over TFRs, sail flow. You can check how far away you are from the nearest airport by asking Siri. If you are ever worried about a plane that is overhead for whatever reason, you can actually ask Siri what planes are above me right now in that exact statement, what planes are above me right now. It'll tell you altitude, elevation, and angle of attack for all of the aircraft that are above you.
Amazing. So I want to go back a little bit to SkyVector because you had that up on your phone. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on that.
Yeah.
So what specifically is somebody trying to look at for that?
Specifically, they're looking for red circles. The magenta dashed circles, those are normally a class G airspace, or you're getting into a class E airspace, so out of G and into E.
Okay.
You really just need to focus on the airspaces that are around you. Let's see, let's go into Albuquerque.
So the no-fly zones specifically?
The no-fly zones specifically. You know, a lot of this stuff will not affect a drone pilot because you really should be staying below 400 feet anyway.
Okay.
So that's why you really, you know, don't get confused by all the blue lines and
that's and all whatnot. More for traditional piloting.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Cool. The other thing that's really great about this is, for example, here in Albuquerque, you notice this little red circle over here?
Yep.
Forest fire.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, forest fires have been a very big deal recently with drone pilots as they've been getting in lots of trouble. Mm-hmm. And this SkyVector will give you up-to-date information on where those TFRs for hazardous conditions are. It will also tell you when there's a presidential TFR. Now, if there's a presidential TFR, there's normally a 30 nautical mile radius around that, which is massive.
Yeah, that's huge.
So you need to be really...
So don't fly.
You need to be really careful.
Or go to a different town.
We talked about interference, solar interference. We talked about windage. We talked about weather. We talked about no-fly zones.
Magnetic disturbances.
Don't fly near metal. Don't take off near metal. Have your phone out of your pocket. It's something I see all the time. And you know what's another big problem I see people doing? And I just saw it this weekend, too, when I flew with a director on Sunday. And he was doing a compass calibration, and he was just turning his Phantom and his S900 in a circle. He wasn't actually rotating it in a circle around his body.
Okay.
You want to be doing that.
You want to be rotating, not just in your hands moving it around.
Correct, yes. Yeah,
and
so,
that's because you need a little bit more coverage?
Yes, you need a little bit more radius.
Right, radius, thank you.
So a little bit more diameter in your circle.
Very nice. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Again, because GPS, you got to give it a little leeway.
You do, and you know, you're going to create larger margin of errors
right.
If you do your compass calibrations incorrectly. Now, you know, Mark asked the question, I've got a low HDOP. He's talking about flying on 3D robotics stuff because with 3D robotics, you get the number of satellites, you get the HDOP rating, and the RSSI rating as well. And the HDOP, you actually want a low rating. A low rating is good. A high rating is bad. So, for instance, a good fly GPS ratio is going to be 7 satellites with a 1.9 to a 2.2 HDOP.
Okay.
That's what I've been flying with on the Solo. So.
And having no problems at all.
Having no problems at all. Although there is a GPS mod that you can do on the Solo, and it will increase your GPS receiver performance significantly.
But so why wouldn't somebody do that mod then? Seems like something you should do.
Well, I haven't done it yet because I want to get the gimbal on my Solo, and I want to see how it reacts first before I do that. Gotcha. I'll probably end up doing it anyway, though, just because, I mean, I know the GPS technology that's in the Solo. I'm pretty sure it's from Texas Instruments. And, you know, basic science and physics tells you if you put a conductive material around a GPS receiver that if those two touch, you're going to have a problem. Mm-hmm. Well, on the Solo, there's the copper kind of ring that's like a ferromagnetic shield, and it touches the inside of the GPS receiver.
Okay.
So if you put a little piece of cardboard in there, it actually kind of creates a level of separation, and you get much better readings.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's interesting because I don't understand why they wouldn't have put in a simple solution to avoid the problem.
Well, I think it's just, you know, trial and error. You know, you're learning manufacturing, mass manufacturing, and I really feel that this is the first kind of broad market drone by 3DR. Yeah, they had the Iris. Yeah, they had the X8. yeah, they had the Y6, but I mean, like, a drone that mass quantities of people are buying.
Gotcha.
And I feel like they're still kind of learning some of the ins and outs the DJI may have learned a year or two ago.
Gotcha. So, okay. But all that said, you're loving flying the thing.
The solo is so fast. It's so much fun. I'm going to release a video on Instagram where I just attached the new GoPro session on top of the solo.
Fun.
To give it more of like an FPV look. I sent you the video, dude.
I saw the video. It's cool. It's fun.
Yeah. You know,
you guys are going to dig it. Check it out.
The thing moves on a dime. I mean, I can literally do a 180-degree turn in a 3-foot circle at 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
No problem.
It's so, really cool.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. It is. So I think we've covered what Mark was looking for. I hope. Anything else people should be looking out for?
Well, we talked about magnetic interference. You know, guys, don't fly if you're over, rebar enforced cement or like a parking structure. Don't fly near steel objects. Try to fly in very open areas. That's pretty much what I have to say. You know, put your phone away. Don't start up near your car. That's a really bad idea too. Don't start up on top of your car. Very bad idea. You will have GPS problems. And remember, guys, even if you're flying the solo, do not rely on GPS. Learn to fly in the solo on manual mode. And for those of you flying DJI in attitude mode, you know, attitude turns the GPS off, but the difference between attitude and manual mode on DJI is that manual mode uses no stabilization, auto leveling, elevation hold, altitude hold.
You're
100% on your own.
It's skill and feel.
Yeah, but it's not going to fly away from you either.
Yeah.
Because you are 100% in control. Now with attitude mode, if you lose the signal and you waited for your GPS home lock before you took off, it will come back to
right.
you.
So
right. My favorite while flying DJI is flying in attitude mode, and my favorite flight mode with the solo is manual mode. Just because they up all the power in manual mode. So it's like, it's a lot of fun. It's
letting it loose.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Someone told me the other day that they did a test between the Phantom 3 and the Solo, and the Phantom 3 was way faster. And I was
really?
Like, yeah. And I've done the test before, and there is no way the Phantom 3 is faster than the Solo. The guy who was flying the Solo must have been flying in GPS mode because the Solo has bigger motors. I mean, it has more physical lifting power. It's got bigger props.
Right?
Well, it is heavier, but it has bigger props.
Okay.
But that heaviness is actually causing stability.
Okay.
So it is a phenomenal platform, and it's way faster than a P3.
Yeah.
I love the P3. Great entry level drone. You know, we've got one here. Love it. But if I'm talking about having fun and flying, I have a lot more fun with the Solo.
Yeah. It's been. Not having a gimbal, it's actually kind of been cool because you've just been enjoying flying.
I rip it.
Not worrying about the videography and the motions, just racing that sucker.
Yeah, it's
basically
fun.
It's basically a little racer.
I think I'm going to set up a little course while I'm here at the office and just rip it around. So
there you go. So guys, thank you very much for being with us today. And if you have any questions, please hop on askdroneu.com and shoot those into us. We'd love to get them on the air.
Yes, and we love it when you call me out on drifting, so you can do that too.
Yes, we do.
Sorry, I'm mentioning a question that came in from a member from Dubai, which I think is so cool.
It is cool.
That someone in the community is from Dubai.
Yeah, good guy too.
We're just waiting for a follow-up on his question so that we can accurately answer his question.
Yeah, so if you're listening, Ali, we'll reach out to you and try to clarify some things so we can get your questions answered.
And thank you very much for the question because they're
absolutely
very cool, and thank you.
So. Yeah, and thank you, Mark, and thank you, everybody. Don't forget, we do have webinars every Monday at 7 o'clock Eastern. And as I say every, we're going to take a Monday off because Paul's going to be up in Canada.
Canada!
So no webinar this coming Monday, which is the 24th, I believe.
Praise God.
Yeah. Paul is very happy to just have a little break as much as he enjoys hanging out with you guys on Monday nights.
Well, I hang out with everyone in the community often. And actually, one last thing I want to throw out. If you were a part of the 100-hour sale and you got in-person training included, make sure you get that booked up soon because we've got to get another sale going here soon. It's not going to be a deal like the 100-hour sale. That'll never happen again. But we need to get more live trainings completed, and we need to make sure that our members have that priority. So.
Yeah, no, I think that I'm glad you brought that up because, guys, if you did take advantage of the 100-hour sale, we really want you to take advantage of the training because that is where you see
substantial growth. Yes. And even when I was flying with Cam and when I was flying with Mark, people are like, the one-on-one time is just so valuable because you never stop talking. Like, they're like, it's not a bad thing. I learned so much.
Yeah.
I mean, even someone came last time and they're like, I'm bringing a recorder with me next time because the amount that I learned from you is insane.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think people intuitively know, we intuitively know that in-person is going to be better.
Yes.
But even still, I think it gets underestimated.
Couldn't agree more. So if you're a part of that sale, hop on it. If you are interested in live training, well, give us a ring. We'd love to help. Anyway, but that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone U podcast. Submit your questions at www.askdroneu.com.